This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027.
Well, the Brand Father is back after what feels like an eternity. Jeremy Sampson, Director of Brand Finance Africa. How are you doing, sir?
Michael, it's great to be back. Great to be back in South Africa as well.
Well, I must say, a trip exploring with your wife has certainly done you well. You're looking refreshed, re-energized, and ready to tackle the first 100 days of the new president. How do you think President Cyril Ramaphosa has fared in the first 100?
I think it's very, very exciting, the groundwork that's being put down. I think one's still got to step back and reflect on what might have been if he hadn't become the president. And that would bring me awake at night repeatedly. But the fact is, he's there, he's doing things, he's making things happen. It's still one hand behind his back because his majority was wafer thin. And as we know, he hasn't got a united party behind him. That's why I found it very interesting that Mr. Bruce and Business Day were saying, you better call that election fast, because if you wait too long for the election, you might not even have a majority. So he's been in a difficult place. And I think on average, if you gave him a scorecard, he's doing pretty well. But I think all of us are very, very happy that he's making appointments, he's making changes, and he's moving.
But for just a handful of votes, it could have been a very different South Africa, a very different conversation. And if you look at it, new Eskom board, all the implicated executives out, as we heard from the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, who seems to be really enjoying his new portfolio, over 250 pending investigations over at Eskom, starting to clean out all of the SOEs, new Transnet board, new Denel board, new Prasa board. And in the criminal justice system, we now have a permanent national police commissioner, a permanent head of crime intelligence, and a permanent head of the Hawks. These are very important structural changes to start tackling and rooting out corruption in particular. And as we heard from the Auditor General's report yesterday, it looks like last year was just an absolute free-for-all at local government level.
Well, I think people who had their snouts in the trough realized that that time was coming to an end, and they've really gorged themselves. Well, let's now be accountable, make them accountable, bring them to court, because this is criminal activity. And what does it do? It impacts the population, but it probably impacts the most the poorer part of the population and the rural population. And that, to me, isn't just criminal. It's really disgusting.
No, it really is disgusting. It didn't pass notice that Pearl Bengu, when she was CEO of SASSA, managed to get through all of these expenses just below the 500,000 rand mark, which all are in terms of the PFMA, the cap over which one must go out to tender. I mean, every single amount was just enough to be under that 500,000 rand mark.
Which shows you that it's all been planned. People knew what the system was and they worked it to the maximum.
Well, I hope that Advocate Godfrey Lebeya, who's been appointed as the national head for the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, the Hawks as we know them, will really start aiming his guns at those implicated. Now, you at the AGM of the Chamber of Mines, or should we call it the Minerals Council now, yesterday, Jeremy, and I was having a very interesting conversation a few minutes ago with Andries van Heerden, who said the one thing that he wishes we had in South Africa was a vision for mining, to say this is where we want to be in terms of the size of contribution to GDP, how many jobs we want to create, and how we want to get there. He says we don't have one at the moment, but it looks very much like all the pieces are coming together, certainly from organized mining side, to get us there. What's this rebranding all about?
Well, about 3 years ago, Roger Baxter approached me to act as an advisor to him, where he said, you know, we have made the decision with our board that we need to rebrand, we need to reform, we need to be fit for purpose going forward. And that's the process that we've been through. Obviously, without going too far into things, the previous Minister of Mines wasn't exactly the friend of the Chamber, or should we call them the Council. Now we've got Gweda Mantashe there. And it was fascinating that the AGM was yesterday, but they had a dinner the night before, and the Minister went to the dinner He was there. And then yesterday at the AGM, he spoke, as always, very eloquently, followed by the president of the Chamber of Mines and then Roger Baxter himself. And they were saying fascinating things, interesting things, very positive things. They have a vision. They know where they're going. They're going to now, as they've turned the page, become the Minerals Council of South Africa. Now they're going to start activating the whole thing. And Gwede Mantashe was saying he's been out there visiting the various mining areas. He, of course, has a background where he was a miner for a time, so he has a very good understanding, as he exhibited in his address, and talking about some of the key problems, you know, and we haven't got enough time to go into that, but it was very positive. And then someone said to him, well, you know, you've got to the end of the month. Now, are you going to be able to sign off? And in his typical politician's way, he said, well, we've got a couple of rivers to cross. And then when the president came on after him, he said, yes, we've got some way to go. But the big thing was they talked about talking with each other, not at each other. And they repeatedly said that. And also the minister said very clearly, look, when we talk about transformation and BEE, we don't want to destroy the past. We want to build on the past. And that was the message that came through strong and clear. And they were talking about some of the issues, of course, like illegal mining, etc., etc. So I would say that the spirit is very good. There was a lot of goodwill and positiveness. Yes, there are issues, but I think watch this space. They've got a vision and they know where they're going.
And symbolically, to make a break with the past, to put the Chamber of Mines and the iconography, and let's face it, I think many mine workers still feel a sense of anger, loathing towards that iconography, and feel a deep sense of distrust because of past exploitation and discretion or indiscretions. It's important to put that to bed, to start on a clean slate and with a fresh vision, as you say, and a fresh image via the Minerals Council. I did find the color scheme very Google-esque. Was that to represent that we're going to go into a mining of the future, which is going to be far more automated and mechanized?
I think the big thing, though, to say is that that iconography is the tip of the iceberg. Just again to go back, before this has emerged, it's 2.5 years of work, talking to all the stakeholders, especially talking to the communities, talking to the unions, talking to everyone, pulling that all together. And these are the strategic issues, defining where the brand is going to go, defining the vision and the mission, and then only then creating the iconography, which is, as I say, is the tip of the iceberg. They want to be solid, but they want to be bright and light and rainbowish. And to me, that's great. And is it for the future? Absolutely.
Well, Jeremy, stay right there. We just have to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll talk about the present, which is all about Brand Finance's top 50 South African brands.
10X Investments is an authorized FSP. T's and C's apply.
Michael Avery with Classic Business on Classic 1027.
Welcome back to Classic Business and the Brand Father with Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, who cares about the cost of data? MTN's brand value has grown by 8% over the last year. It's just over 44 billion rand, and it's maintained its leadership as South Africa's most valuable brand, according to Brand Finance Africa. Looking at that, I suppose telcos spend an awful lot on marketing. I'm often surprised that we have the banks with the regulatory muscle and the know-how on the one side, we've got the telcos with the marketing and the distribution. Why we still haven't seen in this world of digital currencies a tie-up between a bank and a telco? But I suppose it's about DIY and that mindset in South Africa.
Well, perhaps it's coming. Now, when you think of a certain gentleman who used to be the CEO of FNB, living down in Stellenbosch now, who's got his foot in both camps, both banking and digital, and launching his own bank later this year, I believe. I think that's the one to watch. But you're absolutely right. The telcos, very, very powerful. Now, the fastest riser of all in the top 50 has been Cell C. Look, it's come off a lowish base, but now that's rocketing up. You've got Vodacom number two to MTN. MTN is way ahead of everyone, but people forget that MTN is in 22 countries. It's not just African. No, it's in Middle East. It's even if Afghanistan, Yemen, Iran, all these places, Syria. So it's got a huge footprint. And then Blue Label has squeaked into the bottom of the top 50 as well. So the telco side is very strong, and Telkom is there, but has had quite a dull year, if I can put it that way. But then when you look at the banks, as you say, they're all jostling, they're all fighting away. Now, FNB has nudged its way to the front at the moment, but Standard Bank and Absa are right there. Absa Barclays is about to be relaunched. That's very exciting. Let's see what happens.
I'm expecting a lot from that relaunch, the big relaunch happening around July, and chatting to a lot of the ad agency guys, a lot of the sales force out there. They say, watch the space. They are going to come back to market and reestablish that Absa brand in a very big way. Under Maria Ramos, obviously there was a lot of rumour in the market about whether or not David Hodnett might replace her at one stage, but she said no, this is her strategy and she wants to see it through. So it has been a bit of a laggard amongst the top four from all the key metrics, so it'll be interesting to see how it can regain some of that that old pride that Absa had before the Barclays tie-up. Interesting to see Capitec and how it is actually the strongest brand. I mean, you measure all sorts of things, measuring overall brand value, but you also evaluate the relative strength of brands based on their marketing investment, their familiarity, all of those other components. And in that score, Capitec is actually South Africa's strongest brand.
That's right. You have on the one side the financial valuation, on the other side what we call the brand strength index, and we can give them a rating. Capitec is incredibly strong. Just in the last year, it's put on 1.2 million new customers. Now, that's incredible, you know, and this is where I know that there are negative stories out in the marketplace, but at the moment, they've still got a momentum which is carrying them forward. And as we know, in banking, these are like super tankers. You know, once you've got a momentum, you can keep on going. So Capitec still is a very, very strong company. Let's see how we can do. The other thing about it, of course, it's very exciting, is it's a relatively new brand. You know, the top four banks are all over 100 years old, as I recall, whereas Capitec, I think, is only in its second decade. So it's incredible what it's doing. And this is, to me, the future of South Africa, these new young brands.
And who knows, where Bank Zero or even Time Digital might be in half that time.
And Discovery.
And Discovery, without branches and all the rest of it. Well, I just want to end very quickly, Jeremy, with a tribute to one of our own legendary brands, and that's Abraham Benjamin de Villiers, ABD, hanging up his gloves, his bat, his spikes yesterday on social media, as one does now as a global superstar. I almost didn't believe it when I saw it. I thought it was going to be a parody, but he's done it. A year out from the World Cup, did that surprise you?
Well, I think it's sad that he's retired now. I know that he was finding the pressure of being on tours, etc., with a young family was difficult, as all the players do. I think when you're on an up, because after all, he's come back from injury as well, and he's been performing very well, not to the highest level, I don't think, but very well. So he's obviously chose his moment rather than staying on another year. But I hope, as you've been doing, we celebrate him, because he's been a fantastic cricketer, fantastic ambassador. And I shouldn't be talking in the past sense, because I like to see younger players like this carry on being involved in the sport and being involved as ambassadors for South Africa. Now, I was in South London 3 months ago, and I went into a shop run by some Oriental gentlemen. I didn't know where they were from, and they said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "South Africa." "Where are you from?" They said, "Bangladesh." They said, "South Africa, AB."
Well, there we go. A global, iconic brand for South Africa. Michael Vaughan tweeted, "Such a shame for international cricket," but he's been an unbelievable advert to how I would have loved to have played all three formats. Great, great player. Top three that he's ever seen. Very little that I can add to that. Jeremy, please don't resign on us. It's too good to have you back.
Nice to be with you, Michael. Thank you.
That was Jeremy Sampson of Brand Finance Africa, the brand father, only on Classic Business.